Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
2-point try. Ravens down by 2. Hill in the backfield. Jackson. Keeping it. Jackson. Fake. Jackson tosses. Incomplete. Pressure was there. Joey Porter Jr. flocking to the quarterback. Pittsburgh maintains the lead. 106 to go. Third and 1. Steelers are trying to end it. Ravens trying to stay in it. Snap it. Fields. Give it up. Najee Harris. He's got enough for the first down. Classic AFC North battle belongs to Pittsburgh. Again, Steelers win it over the Ravens, 18-16. They've got first place in the AFC North.
Good morning to you, everybody. It's a Victory Monday. The Steelers are 8-2. The Ravens drop to 7-4. And with the Steelers playing the Browns on Thursday, the next time the Ravens take the field, they could be 2 games back in the AFC North. It's all out ahead of Pittsburgh, because they were able to do what they've done so often of late, and that's beat the Baltimore Ravens. And I have egg on my face, but I'm very happy to have egg on my face. I said Lamar Jackson was going to slice and dice the Steelers, Doran, and he did not do that. The Steelers held him below his season passing average, below his season rushing average, and for most of the game just had the guy absolutely flummoxed. They had Derrick Henry, who hadn't fumbled in 538 touches, fumbling the ball. Patrick Queens pulling out balls. And they did what they always do. They own that football team. The Steelers are very good. We'll give you our biggest takeaways coming up in a moment here. We want yours at 412-928-9370. But I can't believe that I was calling for a shootout. I can't believe that a lot of people were calling for a shootout, because Steelers-Ravens always winds up being Steelers-Ravens, and I think we should all be happy about that, because usually when Steelers-Ravens turns into Steelers-Ravens, the Steelers beat the Ravens.
Yeah, they drag them in the mud, as we said last week, and that's exactly what happened. And you talk about takeaways. There's so many takeaways that we're going to go through this morning of this game, but my biggest takeaway was, you know, the moment wasn't too big for the Steelers, and the moment was too big for the Ravens. It was a mental game in a way that, you know, it didn't look like a mental game, but I feel like the Ravens weren't mentally prepared.
And I'm with you.
They psyched themselves out almost, like they just weren't ready for the opportunity in Pittsburgh to be the leader in the clubhouse. But, you know, across the board, like, I think it's safe to say that this team is really good.
Yeah.
Really good. Like, not just good, really good. The way that they stopped and slowed down the Ravens on defense, you know, I was like, wow. Like, you thought that they would do that, and you thought that the Ravens would get theirs, though. Like, I thought that the Steelers would do a good job, but the Ravens are still going to get theirs.
Yep.
Lamar Jackson's still going to get his. Zay Flowers is still going to get his. Derrick Henry's still going to get his. Not really. Not really. Like, you could look at the numbers, but, you know, the numbers, you know, they're not what they're accustomed to.
Not by a long shot. In fact, the Steelers in the game gave up 329 yards of offense. The Ravens came in averaging 440. The Ravens had the number one rushing offense, still do, in the NFL, averaging 182 yards a game. They had 124. They scored 31.8, so basically 32 points a game. The Steelers have that. They gave up 16. The Steelers' defense owned the matchup. And as we talked about all of last week, and as we've been talking about for a while, okay, the Ravens' offense better than the Steelers. The Ravens' offense the best in the NFL, or at least right there with the Lions for the best in the NFL, certainly the best in the AFC. But the Steelers were significantly better on defense and special teams. We talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
Are the Steelers a better team than the Ravens? Well, if they are, the argument for that was that they're better in two of the three phases, and maybe significantly so. Well, Justin Tucker missed a couple of kicks. Chris Boswell makes all six. And while the Ravens' defense did hold the Steelers' offense in check, the Steelers' defense put on a masterful performance. And so, okay, here it is. My number one takeaway from the game. And we want yours at 412-928-9370. Phone lines open all morning long, as they always are when we've got our morning after. The Steelers looked like the significantly better coach team. Night and day, Doran.
Yes.
Ravens, 3 turnovers. Steelers, 1. Ravens, 12 penalties for 80 yards. The Ravens are the highest penalized team in the league. 12 penalties for 80 yards was a huge difference. The Steelers, only 7 penalties for 45 yards. Ravens, 24 minutes time of possession. Steelers had the ball for 36 minutes. And I thought Tomlin had two brilliant coaching things in this game. Right before the Ravens' two-point play, Mike Tomlin calls a timeout, and it looked like they were going to run that jump pass. So Tomlin calls timeout. So if that's what the Ravens wanted to run, and obviously it's what they wanted to run, they have to go to plan B. You're not going to call the same play, same formation again. So they're running maybe their second-best two-point play, and the Steelers blow it up. Also, before that third down and one to seal the deal at the end of the game, Russell Wilson runs onto the field. And the Ravens line up. Okay, Russ is out here. What are they going to do? Mike Tomlin calls a timeout after the Ravens call a timeout. Then what's he do? He throws Justin Fields out there. And now the Ravens, having prepared for Russell Wilson, now need to prepare for Justin Fields. Is he going to keep it? Is he going to hand it off? Now we've got another element to worry about in the running game. And Najee Harris, what he wasn't able to do earlier in the game on a fourth down, he gets it on that third down. I thought Mike Tomlin coached a beautiful game. Those two things come immediately to mind. And then just the defensive game plan against Lamar Jackson continues to stymie him. They own that guy. You can't ignore it anymore. They own that guy. He's 1-4 against the Steelers, but I thought Tomlin was masterful, and that to me is my biggest takeaway.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a very, very good point. That's an astute observation
Thank
by
you.
They did outcoach the Ravens, and that was one of the things that we did bring up last week is, what about the coaching matchup? Do you like Harbaugh? Do you like Tomlin? You know, will Harbaugh psych himself out? Will Tomlin psych himself out? Will they drag the game into the mud? Like, who's going to zig? Who's going to zag? That is probably a number one right there. The coaching matchup definitely on the Steelers side. And this kind of is in that same realm for me. The ability to be able to keep your identity but change your identity week to week for the Pittsburgh Steelers in every phase, not just defense, not just offense, but special teams. We know what they are and what they want to be and what they want to hang their hat on. But we've been saying it week in and week out. Like, they are so game plan specific to each team, whether it was the Giants and Daniel Jones not letting him get going, whether it was Jaden Daniels not letting him get going. We're going to take this guy out. If we take this guy out, we'll let somebody else eat. And we'll live with that because we'll win the game. And they have done a very good job, game plan specific, week in and week out. And the only way to really do that is, one, like you're saying, is have pretty good coaching. And they did. But two is to have the personnel to do that.
Yeah.
Like, you have to have the personnel. If you don't have the personnel to do that, you can't vary in areas. You can't have different things. You can't have a different structure and ask guys to do different things if they're not capable of doing that. They have a lot of good players on this roster. That's what that tells me. Whether it's the four tight ends that you use. I mean, there was consistent plays and consistent downs where I didn't even see Pat Freiermuth on the field. And they had other tight ends on the field doing their job and being able to do different things. And then you throw Pat Freiermuth out there, and he's doing something different, even though he's a tight end. So your defense has to adjust to all those things. You saw the Justin Fields thing, the two plays. I mean, you saw Najee Harris. You saw Jaylen Warren. You saw the things that we know that they like to do. And then on defense, just being so specific and then playing defense the right way and getting to the ball, stripping the ball, playing smart, being in the right spots, knowing what the Ravens want to do and minimizing that. They are so game plan specific, and the only way to do that is to have the people to do that, and they do.
Yeah.
And that's very impressive.
I'm with you, and if my number one takeaway is that Mike Tomlin thoroughly outcoached John Harbaugh, which he did, my number two takeaway, and I wrote it down, is they can win multiple ways. It's exactly what you're saying. Yep. It's exactly what you're saying. They kicked 6 field goals.
Yep.
And won the game.
They've proven early, the first game of the season, that they could do that and win games.
Yes.
Away, too. And that was home. You did it the same. You did the same thing, and you won.
And here's another one. And you brought this up to me before the show. I think it's a really good point by you. So they used Justin Fields on two crucial plays to seal the thing. This is a guy who had trouble with the snap. And so, scared money don't make money, but you are risking disaster there, because we haven't seen any of those issues at all with Russell Wilson, telling you that that was a Justin Fields specific problem, and now you're snapping him the ball.
Cold.
Like, cold.
It's not like he's on the sidelines practicing his snaps like he's going to go in because the quarterback got hurt.
Right. Zach Frazier's out there snapping it in live action.
And you can't show it with McCullough or whatever his name is. And on the sidelines, because then it's like, oh, Justin Fields is going to go in the game.
Yeah.
Like, you're just going in cold.
You're going in cold, and he's fumbled snaps before, and you're making a read on that read option. And so the ball is in his hands to either win or lose the game. And we can crush him for the slide. I hate the rule. That is the rule. You need to pick up the first down there, and next time I'm guessing he's going to dive head first. But it was a ballsy move to have him in there at that time and then to do it again on the third down play. Great coaching. They found multiple ways to win. Those are our two biggest takeaways. What are yours? 412-928-9370. Biggest takeaway from Steelers 18, Ravens 16. We'll hear from Mike Tomlin when we come back, but we do want to hear from you. Again, 412-928-9370.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Zero. You know, we had some bumps and bruises associated with play. I think most went back. Joey Porter went back, I think. Shin contusion. Keanu Benton is a guy probably that needs further evaluation. You know, we got a short week this week. We got another AFC North battle waiting on us. And so we respect that. We don't waste too much time patting ourselves on the back because that next challenge right around the corner, man. But this is what we signed up for. This is what we live for. This is the ultimate competitors league. And, you know, we swimming in these waters. And it's good. It's good to get to know ourselves. It's good to, you know, smile in the face of adversity that the game and life presents and come through the other side of it.
Injury report brought to you by Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman. They've got your back, not your wallet, Mike Tomlin. Bumps and bruises associated with play. My guess would be that Keanu Benton does not play against the Browns. You get nicked up on a Sunday, you got to play on a Thursday. I doubt you see him. He's a young guy, too, and we know how Tomlin likes to have those guys on the practice field. They're not really going to practice all that much anyhow with the game on Thursday. More walkthrough kind of stuff.
Yep.
Joey Porter Jr., I thought, was outstanding in this game.
Yes.
And I never say this, so I think that you need to. They let them play on the back end.
They did.
And I like that.
Right. Even the George Pickens in the end zone on the far end zone, whenever it was like, you know, kind of tie up, they let him play there too.
Oh, man.
I mean, they knew the game was going to be physical. You were hoping that we wouldn't see as many flags, but I love to see that they did let them play because of the type of game that we were embarking on yesterday.
Yes, I'm with you, and boy, a lot of scuffles.
Yeah. A
lot of dudes going face mask to face mask.
You hear TJ Watt, whenever he did the FaceTime with Maria Taylor on Sunday Night Football, he was like, well, lack of a better term, like there's a lot of hatred between us, but there's respect, and that's what I felt. Like there's respect, but there also is like we don't like them, and they don't like us. And that's how this game has been played for years.
It felt like a divisional round weekend because you had Steelers, Ravens, and then you had Bills, Chiefs.
Yeah.
And I think two different but great rivalries in today's NFL. The Bills have really owned the Chiefs in the regular season but are 0-3 against Mahomes in the playoffs. And so there's hatred there. And that Buffalo crowd was so jacked up. But in both games, you get a little bit of something different. If you're an NFL fan, who isn't? You watch Steelers-Ravens, you're like, oh, these teams hate each other, and it's physical. And these teams have actually scored a lot of points recently, and the Ravens have all year long, and yet it's 18-16 because it's Steelers-Ravens, and they're getting each other's faces. And there's some big slobber knocker hits out there. And then you got the offensive-oriented rivalry at 425, and it was just a beautiful day of football in the NFL. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Biggest takeaway for me from this game is that I thought Tomlin coached circles around Harbaugh. And Doran, you say the Steelers are game plan specific and they find multiple ways to win. Those are our biggest takeaways. Shall we open it up to the callers on their biggest takeaways?
Absolutely.
Let's do it at 412-928-9370. It's the hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Luke from South Point, why don't you go ahead and kick us off, buddy? What's up?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Hell yeah. Biggest takeaway.
Well, I'm honestly going into this week, even after the Commanders win, it still felt like imposter syndrome to me to be considered part of the upper echelon of the league. But after yesterday, after that win, we showed that we can still drag the good teams into the dogfight and win. And after the Chiefs lost in a similar dogfight sort of game, it shows you that we do definitely belong in the upper echelon of the league. So it was just good to see. It feels good on a victory Monday.
I'm with you, Luke.
That's a fantastic point. If you watch both games and you just said that you had two, like, almost, you know, it felt like playoff games yesterday. You watch the Steelers game and you're like, oh, well, the Steelers didn't score a touchdown. So are they really that good? Then you watch the Chiefs game and it's like, you know what? It might work, the method that the Steelers were using yesterday against the other two teams that we consider as one of the top two teams in the AFC. So you watch both of those games, and you can kind of see maybe a pathway to the Steelers actually competing against either one of those teams. I know what Josh Allen did was insane, but you could see the Steelers standing toe-to-toe on the field with them.
I totally agree. I think the Lions are the best team in football right now. I think the next four best teams played in the AFC in consecutive games yesterday.
Yep.
I think for me it goes, you know, Kansas City. I know that Buffalo just beat them, but I'm still going to give the champs their due. KC, Buffalo, and Pittsburgh neck and neck, and then the Ravens. I mean, all four of those teams are really good. Really, really good. And I can see the Steelers winning the Super Bowl. Am I going to pick them to? You still got seven games left.
Mm-hmm.
You better go take care of business against the Bengals or the Browns and the Bengals, frankly. But I can see the Steelers winning the whole thing. I think they're a fabulous football team.
Yeah.
And we saw it with offense last week against the Commanders. You need a touchdown in the final moments. You put up 28 and you win. This week, you put up 18 and win. And here's a great stat. Joe Burrow this year against the Ravens has thrown 9 touchdown passes, and they lost both games. The Steelers beat the Ravens without scoring a touchdown. And you know why that is? Because the Steelers are good.
Mm-hmm. Like, they're complete.
Oh, man, bad luck for Joe Burrow. Maybe bad luck for Joe, but his team stinks. They stink. They got 7 losses. That's a bad football team. The Steelers, they don't need touchdowns. They can get them when they need them, but they don't need touchdowns to beat you every week because you're right, Dorn. They are a complete team. Mike in Latrobe next up. Good morning to you, Mike.
How you doing, guys?
Great.
Appreciate you having me on.
Sure.
I just got to say one thing. I'm sorry, Miss Jackson. Oh, he's not real.
They own him. They own him, Mike. And thank you for the call. They do.
Mm-hmm.
And I said all week long, he's going to slice and dice the Steelers because you don't keep one of, if not the best players on the planet down for that long. Okay, maybe you do. Maybe you do. He was bad in the game. He had a couple of plays because he's going to. I mean, he ran for over 10 yards a carry, but they didn't let him get out more than 4 times. 2 of those designed, 2 of those scrambles. Completion percentage of below 50%. He threw an interception, which is a hell of a play by Peyton Wilson.
Unbelievable.
I mean, what a freak athlete.
Play of the game.
That is the play of the game. Because you're coming right off of Russ Wilson throwing the floater in the end zone, and everyone's going, oh my God, and they cut over to our guy, Arthur Smith.
He's like, oh.
I thought he was going to keel over right there on the side. Oh, God. It was a bad decision. I also think Mount Washington's got to make a play.
Yeah, I think he thought that somebody was behind him, or one of his teammates were behind him. But, yeah, I mean, it's like basketball. It's a jump ball right there.
Yeah, you got a point guard defending you in the post.
Yes.
Go up and make a play. Ain't nobody behind you. You're 6'7". If you can get it, you get it. My guy blocks out the sun. He blocks out the sun. He's a giant eclipse back there. Go up, make a play. Still, in a game like that, and Russ always has such a great feel, just throw the ball out of the back of the end zone and kick the field goal and take an 8-point lead and really put the thing away. Because I was not nervous at the end, Dorn. I really wasn't.
Mm-mm.
I didn't think that Lamar would drive him down the field. He did, because he's good. But I really didn't think that they were going to score a touchdown and a 2-point conversion. I wasn't really sweating it.
I wasn't either.
Which is incredible.
And then that play, I don't even know what they were trying to do.
It looked like...
Well, I mean, you did say that, oh, the timeout, they were going to do the jump pass, and then I don't think they knew what they were going
to
do.
No, you turn to plan B because Tomlin says, I'm going to see what you're going to do. And then he called it at the perfect time to the point where, you saw them start to run the play. Brilliant use of a timeout there. I thought Tomlin screwed it in the first. I thought he screwed it whenever he didn't use a timeout earlier and let 40 seconds run off the clock.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a great usage of a timeout right there. A great use. Because they're running the pop pass. And that might work. Next play, they just totally blew it up. And a guy that we've already sung his praises, Joey Porter Jr., really made a nice play on that 2-point play. 412-928-9370. We want to hear from you all morning long. Biggest takeaways from Steelers 18, Ravens 16. We're going to hear from Mike Tomlin on the usage of Justin Fields when we come back, but we are going to continue to take your phone calls. You can always get in on the text line. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And you can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net.
You know, it was timely. He had a minor hamstring on the other side of the body that kind of slowed some of this, but we haven't been bashful about our intentions. I know sometimes you guys think we make stuff up, but, you know, he's a capable dude. We're going to utilize him. He's really talented. I'm excited about both these quarterbacks we got on our roster. They both are going to be reasons why we're successful and have been. And equally as important as that is they're really good people, man. They're supportive of each other. They're handing the power guys, and Justin has really reflected that. And he had a heck of a week, man, representing Mr. Jackson for us, for example. And so, you know, I'm glad he had an opportunity to contribute and put his hand in the pile and be a component of why we were successful.
Justin Fields slid early on second down, and I think all of us were thinking, oh, God, did that just cost them the game? Then Russ Wilson runs out there on third and one. Tomlin calls a timeout after a Ravens timeout, and bang, Justin Fields back out there again, and I think it makes a huge difference. Steelers got stuffed on a fourth and one earlier on in the game. They got stuffed on a third and one before that fourth and one earlier on in the game, but just having to contend with the extra dude in the running game, Doran, I think makes all the difference there, and I'm hoping we actually see more of Justin Fields going forward, not just on those short yardage situations, but I would probably sprinkle him in the red zone because they have, surprisingly, because Russ was so good in the red zone last year, they have been bogged down in the red zone in the last few games.
And the thing that's so beautiful about it is like he can pass and they trust him to pass too. So like you implement this into the red zone, you have a package in the red zone, which I think they will this week. Especially being on a short week, they probably already put a package of plays in last week for this game, but knew that the situational football probably would take precedent over a package in this football game for Justin Fields. But it's already in, because this week your game plan's already in for the Browns. You do your game plan honestly the same day in the same week, or maybe even a couple days before you do it for the Ravens whenever you do have a short week. So the game plan is in. So I guarantee there's already a package in for Justin Fields, especially being a short week. You want to catch a team off guard, a team that is very vulnerable right now, just lost 35-14 to the Saints. I mean, they're a bad football team. You'll probably see a lot of Justin Fields. And like I said, the beautiful thing about it is he's not just a running threat. And you can't be a defense. It's like, okay, like he's either going to hand it off, you're going to take that guy, you're going to take the running back regardless, and then, you know, we'll have somebody on Justin Fields if he's in to spy. Like, no, like, because if Justin Fields, you know, does the read option and rolls out, he's not going to just run it every time. He could just turn his hips, look down the field, throw a strike to, say, Darnell Washington or something in the red zone. I mean, that's the best thing about it. He's not just a wildcat running back there taking a snap.
Exactly. I love the idea of a little RPO action. Oh, look, they're doing the zone read. Ba-bang! Middle of the field. Yep. See ya. They're going to throw off that. Of
and
course
they clearly,
they're going to throw off
they
that.
They clearly trust him to do that, obviously because of his 4-2 record, but even because of yesterday, of trusting him in a situation to kind of ice the football game.
Yes.
That's a lot of trust in somebody to do that. As we talked about with the snap issues before, they trust him to probably throw it. That's the next step.
My God, dude. They take the Hall of Fame quarterback off the field to go with Justin Fields, a dude who's had trouble with snaps. Yeah, they trust him. Absolutely they do. And he's not going to play 15, 20 snaps, anything like that. But he played 3 and play 6 or 7 maybe? 8 or 9? I think they can keep using this dude, to your point. One other thing that I'd like to see more of, and I get it. It takes time. Mike Williams, 9 snaps. Van Jefferson, 32. You already saw what Mike Williams can do. Utilize him a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. And it'll happen, I think. I do hope that eventually he is the Steelers' number 2 wide receiver. You know, Caboli and Ray Fittipaldo have said, I don't know if he's ever going to be the number 2. Well, he needs to be. He needs to be. Because if I do have one overarching concern coming out of this game, and we'll get to more of the concerns coming up later, that's a bad pass defense. And boy, they were having trouble, I think, getting separation.
Yeah.
And the pass rush of Baltimore was better than I thought it would be. But I also think they had some trouble down the field. A couple of those sacks were coverage sacks.
Mm-hmm.
You need to get open against that defense. Mm-hmm. And for the first half in particular, they didn't.
I think that we'll see the rep count for Mike Williams go up after this Thursday's game.
It's probably not going to happen on a short week, right?
No, but you do have extra days after it, so I think that'll give him some time to really learn what they're doing. Who's the game after it? Is it
Cincinnati?
Cincinnati. I think the Cincinnati game, his rep count will go up because he has some extra days to prepare and learn more of what the offense is doing.
412-928-9370. Jake in Brentwood next up. Good morning, Jake.
Hey, good morning, guys. Feels good after a Steeler win over the Ravens, don't it?
Darn tootin'.
Hey, this one, as much as Mike Tomlin had a great game, I give this one up to Amar Khan and Andy Whitehall. I mean, look at the players that made splash plays for the Steelers that they needed. I mean, you had the Patrick Queen strip. You had the Peyton Wilson interception. Herbig with a big force fumble early in the game. And, I mean, even without Highsmith, you had Preston Smith come in, and he had a hell of a game. I mean, you didn't see him on the stat sheet a lot, but he was in the backfield a lot. He had Lamar Jackson scrambling around back there.
Thanks for the call, Jake. It's a salient point.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised Herbig played as much as he did, actually.
Same here. But, actually, now I think about it, you know, Lamar Jackson breaking out and on his backside, you made a great, great point before the show about how Lamar likes to go to his right, and it's hard to go to your right because T.J. Watt's over there. But if you have somebody like Herbig who's quick and explosive and smaller on the backside, like, that does force you to the right, and then you're kind of dead in the water.
You know, I thought they were going to try to be stout at the point of attack and put Preston Smith out there because you got Derrick Henry. Nah, they just wanted speed on the field.
Yeah.
They wanted speed on the field. We saw with Peyton Wilson on that interception. He played a fair amount during the game. It's what the Chargers did way back when in that first playoff game that Lamar Jackson ever played. They just put a bunch of defensive backs out there. Well, Steelers go with their speediest outside backer in Herbig. They play Peyton Wilson a lot, and it paid dividends. They know what to do against this guy.
Mm-hmm.
They do. I said that they hadn't played this version of Lamar, and they haven't. Last season was the best Lamar has looked against the Steelers, but they dropped a bunch of passes. Before that, it hadn't been since 2021. Yeah, well, you know what? I'm wrong. That stuff matters, too. They know how to defend this guy, and I think they're in his head a little bit, too. 1-4 against the Steelers. They've been sacked, what, 23 times? Quarterback rating's a disaster. He's thrown a bunch of picks. Woo!
Mm-hmm.
I don't worry about them at all, Doran, anymore. Like, I think they're going to go into Baltimore and beat them, too. Hey, they could have lost the game. I mean, it's not like it wasn't close.
Right.
But they didn't, because they don't. They've won 8 out of 9. Brilliant game playing by Tomlin and company, and they always seem to have one against the Baltimore Ravens. One more call?
Yes.
Steve in Myrtle Beach, hello.
Morning, fellas.
What up, brother?
I think the biggest takeaway was just overall just how complimentary our defense is and just how just well-prepared Mike Tomlin is. Every time we play Baltimore, it's Lamar relevant. And like I said, if you can contain Derrick Henry, we'll be fine. He got a touchdown, but at the end of the day, we did a hell of a job on keeping Henry in check.
You're right about that. And let me tell you, Steve, Minkah Fitzpatrick had a massive tackle on Derrick Henry.
Yes.
How many times do you see Derrick Henry bang, open field, it's over? And the entire Ravens sideline thought it was over.
He had some steam, too.
Woo! And Minkah dives and gets him. Minkah also had an excellent one-on-one tackle on Mark Andrews when he had a ton of grass. But that was a 31-yard carry for Derrick Henry. And I think against lesser competition or a safety that's not making $18 million a season, he's gone. But you, instead of allowing a touchdown run, it's a 31-yarder. Apart from that run, and you don't take it away, obviously. That counts, too. 12 carries for 34 yards apart from that run. They did shut him down.
Oh, yeah.
They shut him down.
They were hitting him, too.
They were hitting him.
Uh-huh. When TJ and Mary screamed on the edge at one time, I mean, you don't see collisions on Derrick Henry like that.
I understand that. Sometimes you're not going to worry about the backside defender if you got the play going to that side. Whenever TJ Watt's a backside defender, you might want to put a body on him.
Something.
Might want to. We saw a couple of rollouts to his side that were designed to Watt's side. Just stop it. What are you doing? I mean, don't stop it. Keep doing that. But, like, come on. We're going to roll out to TJ Watt's side. Another thing the Steelers defense did well, and you and I were chatting about before the game, is they knocked a bunch of passes down.
Yes.
And pass rush lane integrity, Doran. Big in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they do the little mush rush, and they were collapsing the pocket, I thought. But they were, like, if they were playing another quarterback, they would have had more sacks, I think. Not only because of Lamar's escapability, but because I just think the game plan is, let's crunch the pocket, but don't rush too far upfield.
Right.
And it was brilliant. And then
his hands up.
get your hands up. He's altering arm angles. He's doing it, but he's not a biggest guy in the world. Swat, swat, swat.
Because he does, whenever he does get on the move, and like he, like not on the move, but if he's like kind of like shimmying in the pocket, he does like that sidearm.
Yeah.
Throw, and that is very low. So, I mean, that was definitely identified on film. I don't remember the Steelers getting that many batted balls down against Lamar in the past. I went back to watch all the games, but his arm angles, like you just said, they do change whenever he does shimmy around a little bit. He likes to flick it and get it out of there. So that was this defense, I mean, they really knew exactly what they wanted to do, and they executed it perfectly.
I do want to get into the Steelers defense coming up at the top of the hour, just more in depth, because, okay, they do this against Baltimore all the time. We said coming out of the bye, defense has been good. They've shown some cracks, statistically very good, but the second half was going to tell you the full story on them. Is this the best defense in the league? Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah. They held Washington below all their season averages. Now they hold Baltimore below all their season averages and beat both of them. Yeah, the defense is elite. There's no question about that. Today's fan for the win game changer is Southside Heating and Plumbing. Southside Heating and Plumbing is making a donation to the Women's Center and Shelter to support women and children in need this holiday season. Coming up next, death, taxes, Tomlin beating Harbaugh, and the Ravens bitching after a loss. Who bitched this time? We'll make fun of them when we come back.
Tucker missed it from 47. This is a 50-yard attempt. He had been Mr. Automatic throughout his career. 50-yarder, Tucker. The struggles are real. This is not the same guy that we've seen the last 12 years.
Process and then taking it one kick at a time. There was a game here yesterday too. Was the surface an issue at all?
I wouldn't say the surface was an issue, but it wasn't ideal.
Service wasn't an issue, but it wasn't ideal. That's Justin Tucker, by the way, the guy who missed two field goals. You can't answer the question that way, sorry, when the other guy goes 6-for-6.
Right.
You just can't.
Nope.
The surface wasn't ideal. Seemed pretty ideal for Chris Boswell, who nailed 6 of them, including a 57-yarder. And really, that's the difference in the football game there, is one kicker was outstanding, and the other guy has really been playing the worst football of his life. In Justin Tucker. I saw that the AFC North kickers other than Chris Boswell, I think, went 3-for-9 on the day.
Whew.
The Steelers do have the best kicker in football, and it's really important. The Steelers, since Mike Tomlin took over in 2007, have the best winning percentage in one-score games. Now, you had Ben for a lot of them. You've had Russ now for a few, but when you have a better kicker than the other team, that's going to make a huge difference.
Yes. Yes. We knew that it was going to come down to this, and Tucker hasn't been good all year. And he used to be a cheat code. Now he's not. Can't even sometimes get extra points. So for him to blame the surface, you got to look at the other side and say, well, the Steelers didn't score a touchdown. They had all field goals, and they beat us, and that has to do with their kicker, and he made all his.
He's the cheat code now. What does annoy you, though, is 27-yard field goal and a 32-yard field goal from Chris Boswell. I hate to see that, because that means you're right there.
Mm-hmm.
You're right there. You are in the low red zone at that point. And they got to figure it out down there. Russ was really good in the red zone last year, but the percentages in the red zone right now are woeful for the Steelers. You didn't need to score touchdowns to win this game. You didn't need to score touchdowns to beat Atlanta. But you need to be better in the red zone if you are going to make a run at this thing. And I think you can fold Justin Fields in there a little bit, Doran. But I think that you probably need to use more Freiermuth down there. I'd like to see more Darnell Washington yes. down there, too.
Yes. Get the big bodies in there.
Big bodies.
Big bodies.
Let's go. All right. Coming up next, Steelers defense was masterful, and they always seem to be against the Ravens. But is there any doubt now, after these last two games, this is clearly the best defense in the NFL? We'll talk about that. We also want to know what your biggest takeaway was from Steelers 18, Ravens 16. And you can call in on that all morning long, 412-928-9370. It's also the Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by P.J. Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. Trust PJ.com. I missed the 50-minute mark. That's my fault. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. We talk defense next, but first, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. It is here, the Chevy Red Tag event, now through December 2nd. 0% APR for well-qualified buyers. Full terms at sunchevy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com